Welcome to installment 105 of Sefer HaMitzvahs from the Rambam. Today's portion contains one commandment, Prohibition 61, beginning the laws of oath. In this case, the prohibition against taking a false expressive oath, or a shvuas bitui. In Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Rambam declares that the prohibition of a false oath derives from the book of Leviticus, chapter 19, verse 12. There the verse states, V'leisi shavu vishmi lashoker, that do not swear falsely by my name. God speaking, saying that one should not swear falsely in his name. The Rambam explains that there are many different types of oaths. The oath we are referring to here is a shvuas bitui, an expressive oath, or an oath indicating some intention to do a certain type of action. In the Rambam's legal code, he explains that there are four kinds of shvuas bitui, two involving things of the past, and two involving things of the future. And each of these two is either a positive act or not to do a certain act. For example, one could take an oath that in the future he will eat a peach, or he could take an oath not to eat a peach. These are two future oaths. There are also two oaths in the past. One could take an oath that he did not eat a peach, or that he did eat a peach. These would be the four categories of shvuas bitui, of expressive oaths. Now, these oaths must involve things which it is possible to do. Should it be impossible to do, either because of religious restrictions, such as a Jew making an oath to eat pork, or even should it be a practical restriction, such as a person making an oath to do something which is physically impossible. Any oath to do something which is impossible to do is not called a shvuas bitui, it's a shvuas shav, a vain oath, as we will discuss in tomorrow's mitzvah. Now that we know that there is such a thing as a shvuas bitui, we will get to the prohibition. The prohibition, as the Rambam quotes from the Gemara in Tractate Shvuas and the Tractate Muda, the prohibition is not to follow one's oath, lahachlif, to not fulfill whatever was expressed in the bitui, in the oath. For example, if one swore to eat a peach and he did not eat a peach, then he would be transgressing this prohibition. Similarly, should he swear that he did eat a peach and this was false, he did not, he would also be transgressing this type of false oath. As is obvious, we can also have such a prohibition even without the person doing anything. So should the person say he will eat a peach, by not doing anything, he will end up transgressing this prohibition. By merely sitting and not eating, he is automatically transgressing the prohibition of a false oath. In Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Rambam then describes the punishment for transgressing this prohibition. As in all biblical prohibitions, the general punishment is malchus, or lashes. And so too for this prohibition, one incurs lashes for making a false oath. Should it be done b'shegeg, or accidentally, then the person would have to bring a sacrifice at the times of the temple, a korban eila v'yeret, a sacrifice which has no specific animal or specific parameter what must be brought, but rather it corresponds to the person's wealth and abilities. This, the Rambam says, he already explained in Positive Commandment 72, which in our daily schedule we have not yet reached, but this describes the sacrifice of a korban eila v'yeret, as it is also mentioned in our davening on Yom Kippur about any of the sins which we might have to bring an adjustable sacrifice, a korban eila v'yeret. The Rambam then goes into a long parenthetical statement giving a general principle which applies throughout Sefer HaMitzvahs. In fact, he says it applies for all mitzvahs which come after this mitzvah and all mitzvahs which come before this mitzvah. In this, he describes the general idea of when one gets lashes. The Rambam gives the principle that in no case can one incur lashes without having done an intentional sin. Should it be an accidental sin? Should he be forced into doing it? Or should he do it by accident or do it by mistake? He does not get lashes. He is not punished by excision, by kares. and certainly he does not incur the death penalty. It is obvious, says the Rambam, and it does not even need mentioning, that one gets lashes only in the case when the sin has been done intentionally. Not only that, says the Rambam, there are other conditions. As the Talmud says in Tractate Sanhedrin, that in addition to the person's intention to do a sin, there must be witnesses to the sin, and there must be hasra, there must be a warning. The warning is to determine whether the sin was done intentionally or unintentionally. If so, says the Rambam, why does he have to mention by many sins, including this one, that if it is done intentionally, one gets lashes? He could merely mention that one gets lashes, and we would automatically know that this would be true only in the case of an intentional sin. And the Rambam explains, he mentions this only to contrast with the law of an unintentional sin, that sometimes when a person does the sin unintentionally, he must bring a sacrifice. And sometimes he does not have to bring anything. Therefore, since he has to mention that for an unintentional sin, one has to bring a sacrifice, he mentions to contrast it that an intentional sin, one gets lashes. However, this is obviously the case that in order to get lashes, one must do the sin intentionally. Therefore, the Rambam says, one should not ask, why does he mention that to get lashes, one must do it intentionally? It's obvious. The Rambam says that I've explained it once, and I will not explain it again. In the 12th and final chapter of the Laws of Oaths, Hilchos Shvuos, the Rambam explains why this sin of a false oath, and in general, all of the other false oaths, the other categories, as well as today's category, that all of them are considered to be an extremely serious and extremely dangerous transgression, that Rambam explains that by other sins, once someone has incurred the punishment, such as lashes, he has been completely atoned for his sin. As it says in the verse, in the Chumash, that after the person has been lashed, he's then considered a member, a regular member, upstanding member of the Jewish people. However, when it comes to a false oath, the sin is not completely atoned for simply by lashes. A remnant of the sin remains with him, and it must be cleansed, it must be purged in some other fashion. Furthermore, in Hilchos Tshuva, in the Laws of Repentance, the Rambam mentioned that the sin of making a false oath is considered one of the chamures. It is categorized together with something which the penalty is death, or the penalty is kores, excision, or the cutting off of the soul. Why is it that this is considered such a serious sin? The Rambam quotes this, the end of this very verse that we quoted previously, that after stating the prohibition that one must not swear falsely in God's name, the verse continues, V'chilalta es shem elekecha, that you have desecrated the name of your God, that this involves chilul Hashem, a desecration of God's name. Once someone has done such a serious thing, it is considered to be a terrible transgression and in a completely different category of the other sins, even though the penalty as expressed normally is only lashes, as it is for all other transgressions. Nevertheless, since this involves Chilul Hashem, a desecration of God's name, is considered much more serious. So too, on the positive side, we can understand the greatness of someone who fulfills his oath to God, and therefore gets tremendous reward after keeping to his promise and satisfying the oath. This, however, we will explain in more depth when we get to the positive commandment of satisfying an oath. Thank you for tuning in to the daily portion of Sefer HaMitzvahs. For more information or to sponsor a share, contact Sichas in English at 718-778-5436. And please join us again tomorrow.